Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing our graduates to hit the ground running.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. That summer fling, that old flame, the first wife, the second husband, the one that got away. Lots of people have past loves these days, but not many people talk about them, not with current partners. It's too tough, too tricky, too loaded, almost taboo. My guests today say maybe we should, to be whole, to be healthy. Sounds risky to me, but interesting. This hour On Point, old loves, new relationships, and the last taboo on talking about what was. Joining me now from Montpelier, Vermont, are Kate Harper and Leon Marasco. They've been married for the past 13 years, and they're co-authors of the book, If Only I Could Tell You, Where Past Loves and Current Intimacy Meet. Kate, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Tom. Thank you for having us.
And Leon, very good to have you as well.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, it's great to be here.
So are you two just stirring up trouble here? I mean, what on earth are you thinking? Who can talk about this stuff without getting blown to bits?
Maybe we are stirring up trouble. We've certainly felt that way sometimes when we've talked to people about it. But we felt that we really needed to create an opportunity for people to make some choices. And one way to do that would be to put it out there and say, look, this is what we've done, and we've talked to a bunch of people, and this is what people have said about this subject, and, you know, let people kind of choose for themselves. And we certainly agree that it's risky, as you said, but, you know, it's a question of whether you want to take the risk in order to gain, you know, what the goodies are that come with it.
We'll talk about what might be gained, and it's fascinating. But, Kate, give us the sort of standard picture. I mean, I think we all know it, but in most relationships, this is pretty well sealed off, locked up, boarded up, cemented down material, is it not?
It is. It's pretty much off limits because people fear the possibilities. You know, what could happen if they do talk about it? And it just seems like, why take that risk? I think there's sort of a cultural understanding that this is something that's not done, that it shouldn't be, and that it's okay to talk about, well, this is where we met, and this is what we did, and this is who he was or she was, but the real emotional content is in that real shadowy realm of, I really shouldn't talk about that. That's too risky.
What kind of old relationships are you talking about here, Kate? Give us some examples. What types?
What types? Well,
I mean, is this boyfriends and girlfriends in high school? Is this the ex-husband, the ex-wife that, yes, you divorced, but maybe you've still got, of course you've still got something there. What's the range?
It's all of the above, basically. I think the way that we think about significant past loves is that they were ones that really mattered, that were life-changing in some way, that were formative in some way, that people crossed some sort of a threshold in their life with this person. So it could be a high school sweetheart where for the first time somebody experiences themselves as attractive, somebody's interested in me, somebody cares about me.
As a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it can be that. And there can also be those you know, more developed relationships such as marriages significant long-term romantic relationships. It really is anything that really touched people in some way, that changed them, that is forever a part of them.
You know, Leon, I ran into you, too, on a lovely day in Vermont, mm-hmm. and you put this bug in my ear. And at first I thought, oh, that's so mushy. And I talked with my young producers about it, and they were, you know, I mean, they're in a different generation. This sounded hopelessly kind of romantic at first. But then we thought, well, you know, these days with divorce, which means multiple relationships by definition, with long lives where people very often – it's just the way of the world. Lose partners and remarry. Never mind all the traditional romances that come and go. I mean, love encounters are by definition part of our life and world now, Leon.
Absolutely. I mean, I certainly have a history that goes back. I mean, I was married for 16 years, and I lived with another woman for 12 years before Kate and I got together and had several other relationships, you know, so... it says a lot about my age, but it also, you know, I've got a history, you know, we all do.
So what is the thing, Leon, that you are proposing gets unearthed here? People are going to know generally. I mean, if there's an ex-husband or wife, people know about it. Very often they even know the names and something about early beaus, boyfriends, girlfriends, you name it. Or certainly if there's a deceased loved one, that's going to be known. But you're not talking about just the bare bones facts. You're talking about unearthing the real emotional content. Like what? What do you mean?
Absolutely. It seems to us that... we talk about intimacy. So our definition of intimacy for the purposes of this book were knowing and being known. And if you go into a relationship where you have a locked up part of yourself, which you are preventing from being known, and your partner does the same thing, it really puts an incredible barrier on the extent to which intimacy can develop. The question, you know, is when you have a memory that generates a feeling, and some of these things, you know, are just, I mean, certainly, and this is not the center of this book, some of them are sexual, obviously, mm-hmm. but there's also all of the other stuff, the little things, pieces of music where, you know, you want to be able to say, oh, gee, you know, that piece of music just came on and you want to say, oh, man, this makes me think of. A particular food. Or if you go into a restaurant and you run into this person, you want to be able to say to your partner, you know, we really had a good time together. I just got a birthday card from a former of mine, the woman that I lived with for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And she just listed this whole list of thank yous about things that we had shared together, you know, watching the moon come up on a lake in far northern Maine, walks that we'd taken. And, you know, if I couldn't have shared that note with Kate, it would have been awful, you know. And, you know, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, it would have just had this thing, oh, my God, you know, what would I do with this? I mean, here's this piece of me. You know, and Kate knows this woman really well.
But it's easy to imagine couples where that note would have been squirreled away and hidden, maybe burned or thrown straight in the trash.
Absolutely. And that's the bigger case. I think that's going to be the general case.
Kate, you share a story in the book, If Only I Could Tell You, about you and Leon driving along one spring morning in North Carolina, headed for the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yes.
You stopped off at the Jukebox Cafe, and one of these moments just descended on you. Share it with us.
Yes, yes. We were just looking for a bite to eat, so we stopped into the Jukebox Cafe, and it was, you know, a wonderful setting because it was a real 50s kind of cafe mm-hmm. with, you know, pictures of 50s era movie stars and, you know, John Wayne and Marilyn Monroe, and there was a working jukebox there, and the place was pretty empty, but then some telephone linemen came in, and one of them, after they ordered, went and selected something on the jukebox. And what started pouring into this space was a song that my former partner had sung to me that meant the world to me. It just expressed a wonderful thing to me that was so meaningful. And I had never heard this song except him singing it. So this was the first time I was actually hearing it. And I really loved this man, and I knew that he loved me. And so there I sat with this song coming out, and the tears just sprang into my eyes. I don't think that I could have held them back if I had wanted to. And because Leon had heard me tell about this song and its meaning to me, he knew exactly what was going on. And he just looked at me and reached across the table and took my hand. And there was a lot of love in his face, in his eyes. And it was a moment that was so beautiful in our relationship. You know, it became part of our relationship, mine's with Leon. And, you know, I felt supported, understood, and known, you know, that yes, what I had been saying about this person was genuine, you know, and he could see it and feel it.
And he already knew, because you'd had that level of candor right down to the song of a previous love that he knew. There's a lot to talk about here, Leon. I'm not sure everybody would welcome notes from old loves to current spouses about their old mooning in Maine and long walks in the woods, but maybe. Kate Harper and Leon Marasco are with me. Their book is If Only I Could Tell You. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Eyes are bright and blue, but something in the way you touched me, I still think. Yeah, I still think of you.
Kate Harper and Leon Marasco are with me. Their book is If Only I Could Tell You, where past loves and current intimacy meet. They've been married for 13 years, but they've got histories, and you probably do too. Kate and Leon join me from Montpelier, Vermont today. With me in the studio now is Patricia Pat Rogers. She's a psychotherapist, private practice, has counseled individuals and couples and families for over 20 years. Pat, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, do these old relationships come into the middle of current relationships in your practice? Are these a problem for people, or an opportunity to sort of open up and share? Is this really safe?
I think it's both and, that it can certainly lead to more intimacy if people feel open to share. But I was really struck by how the timing of this needs to work for people, that Kate and Leon clearly are mature people who have had other relationships, have the capacity for introspection, seem to have a pretty sturdy sense of themselves, and that then this kind of sharing can certainly be appropriate and enhance a relationship. But I would proceed with caution in relationships that don't have that level of maturity.
Leon, you raised the questions right here that many people would raise. You know, will our partner be jealous, feel hurt, or express anger? Will our relationship itself lose the stability it has? Will what we express be misunderstood, misused? And how much do we really want to know about our partner's past? All those questions must be pretty upfront in a lot of people's minds.
Absolutely. Hello, Patricia. You know, all we can say is we agree that in our own case, we recognize that having the experience we had, and when we've looked at some of the interviews we did, that whole business about you really need to be maybe of a certain age before you're ready for this sort of thing. Again, though, I mean, the issue is, what do you give up if you don't do it? And that's the only thing we're interested in, is presenting a choice, letting people know that there is something lost if you don't do this. But we agree 100% that this is risky as all out for a lot of relationships. And we say in the book that it's certainly any relationship that's having trouble should, you know, not try to use this as a way to resolve the problem any more than pregnancy or something like that would do it.
The risk of punitive behavior by your current partner is too high, you write in the book. But the thing you give up if you don't do it, you say, is that kind of rich, deep, intimacy, and we'll talk about that. We've got a lot of listeners who want to join us as well. Let's go first to Jana, calling from Marblehead, Massachusetts. Jana, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I've only been married for 3 years, but I think it's absolutely essential to have the conversation.
Did you bear all? You told all, right down to those emotional intimacies
and
depths?
From day one, the whole story. And I don't think I would have married the man if he had reacted negatively to it. I think you have to like someone in order to fall in love with them, even if it was a long time ago. And I'm still friends with all my exes, as is my husband, you know.
But did he want to hear about it, Jana? Or was he like, oh, that's fine, thanks, but I don't need to.
I think he did, because when you're first into someone, I heard the other day that they are all value incarnate. And there's this wonderful thing where they can do no wrong when you're beginning to fall in love. So that is the essential time, I think, to have these kinds of conversations. You might get jealous for a second, or they might, but if you don't do it then, it might seem inappropriate later on in the relationship. But if you open it up, if you tell the story of what's moved you, of what's, you know, transposed you profoundly, mm-hmm. then I don't think it can do more harm than good.
Inappropriate later because it might seem as though you had kept secrets, but were you willing to hear his stories as well? Jana, did you really want to know that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course I did. Because if I didn't know and something surprised me later, it would be just coming out of, you know, the woodwork years later, and I wouldn't have known this about him or known that about him or known what he's gone through emotionally with another woman. Of course I wanted to know.
So there's a thumbs up for the whole idea. Kate, you and Leon interviewed a lot of people, teachers, writers, students, homemakers, craftspeople. What did you find? Were people eager and ready to talk about past loves, never mind with their partner, even with you, or was it off limits?
Well, it was certainly a mixture. You know, there was the whole continuity. There were some people who basically said, you know, we talked a little bit when we first got together, but beyond that, what's the need? There were others who were more like Jana, who said, this is an important part of each of us, and we really do want to share it, and it is crucial to us being together and helping each other. You know, if there's anything that's still even a little unresolved, or, you know, some things that we still haven't quite processed from that relationship, that's something we are going to do together. Mm. And the only way we can do that is to share it.
Pat, you're our therapist here, Pat. Is it healthy one way or the other? Can it be healthy both ways, whether you're telling all or holding a narrative in reserve?
Well, I think it's interesting what you're saying now, Kate, because I think, again, back to the timing of this, that maybe we need to understand the parts of us first that may be reluctant to share versus the parts that want to share, and that ambivalence mm-hmm. that we have about so many things. So mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. often important. I mean, that's what I do in therapy a lot, is sort of get people ready to do this, I think, is to explore who they are, defining who they are, and then look at it within the context of sharing it in a relationship, what their motivation might be. You know, is it to be damaging and hurtful, to be sort of one up in a relationship, or is it mm-hmm. in fact to enhance? And it's obviously really important to explore that, I think.
But is there
first.
A paradigm here? Could you say, if you open the textbook to Past mm-hmm. Loves, you know, page 610, does it say couples who tell all are healthy and those who don't are sitting on a powder keg of blah, blah, blah?
No.
No way.
No. Yeah, go ahead, Leon. What would you, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Leon, you think it works
it's
either
individual.
Way?
No, I mean, I don't think it's clear. I mean, every couple is a completely unique organism, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, to pick up on what the caller said, hearing this stuff is both difficult and I want to hear it. And so the question for an individual is, you know, can I hear this stuff? I want to hear it because it's important to the relationship and it's important to me. But I know I'm going to have to hear something that may not be easy to hear. And how am I going to react to that? Am I going to do it in a way that is constructive? You know, it's okay for me to say that's hard to hear, but, you know, and so that, you know, we can continue the conversation and make it safe for the person to talk. But I think those things coexist. There's not one or the other.
Kate, when we talk about wanting to hear it or not wanting to hear it, what is it? What tended to be the things that were, you know, considered sort of, I don't know, nuclear or super intimate, or the things that people really weighed carefully before sharing? Were they emotional, sexual, both? What stripes of things, Kate?
Well, I think they were actually more the emotional. Mm-hmm. People mentioned the sexual, but not nearly as often as you would think they might. Because when it came right down to it, for most people, that was not the most important part of the relationship in terms of the meaning of it for them. It might have been a very important expression of it, but the meaning of it was elsewhere. And so,
though you talk about one of your interviews was with Felice, and she says at some point she felt like she was so aware of past loves with her partner, she felt like there were three people in bed, even when there were only two.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and in that particular one, the past love that her partner Gabe was talking about was someone who had such a profound effect on him, and in the sexual realm, that was an unavoidable part of talking about that past love. That's not always the case, but I think in that situation, it was, and it certainly was in their case. And they were both very committed to knowing each other and talking about these things. But for both of them, it was problematic. You know, from her point of view, it was. You know, she compared herself in some way that maybe she could not be the sort of sexual partner for him that his former had been, and that definitely caused some difficulty for her, and for him as well, because he would find himself comparing sometimes, and then knowing that was not fair and that wasn't a good thing to be doing, and yet he would find himself doing it. But what's interesting about them is that they grew through that a lot. And because they talked about it, the growth that came from it then was that much greater because it was a shared perception, a shared experience. And the way he talked about it, you know, after years of marriage was that they were meeting each other more where each of them was, and it had become more and more beautiful, and they were much closer in that realm over time.
Leon, I can imagine, as difficult as that might be, that sort of discussion of sexual history, talking about a former lover's sort of emotional splendor, let's say, of moments or of that relationship, that would seem really challenging. When that gets right down to the fundament of a new relationship, if an ex was producing, you know, moments of emotional wonderment, surely the current partner is going to think, well, do we have that? And if we don't, what are we doing here?
Absolutely. I mean, the magic word, I think, is threatening. Anything that threatens our relationship is something that's going to make me uncomfortable. And, you know, I mean, one of the very exciting words is soulmate. If if somebody's got a soulmate in their background, and a lot of people do, then, you know, I mean, and Felice says this, actually, she says, you know, well, if she's a soulmate, what am I, you know?
Right.
But she does add that's
unbuttered
her small
toast.
Self.
One and only.
Yeah.
Right.
But more importantly, what she finally realizes is that what they are doing is they are becoming soulmates. They're working at becoming soulmates. They're developing a relationship that is that kind of intimacy. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, you know.
She's the soulmate. What am I? What a question. Let's go to Nashville and John. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love your show. My question is more on the, what if it's a negative aspect of the past? Because my partner and I, we've shared the good times of our past, and I love that we feel open to do that. It shows that we're both capable of being loved and loving another person. This is more on the topic of how it's damaged maybe the view of one another, as far as maybe there's a promiscuity or infidelity. Is there a chapter on this book that helps with how to recover from that?
That is interesting. John, thank you very much for that call. Kate, how about it? What if it's not all, you know, moonlight and wonderment? There's somewhere in here where you describe someone saying, I can't imagine having an enjoyable relationship with somebody who didn't really enjoy the people they had been in relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
What about the tough history and sharing that? That could also cast someone in a bad light.
Well, it certainly could. We don't cover that per se in the book, but and maybe this is something, Pat, that you would like to address as well. But because it seemed that so many people were able to talk about the negatives more readily than the positives. When we started talking to people, it seemed like a lot of people said, "Well, it's easier to talk about the negatives because it doesn't put your current partner in a bad light because they look great by comparison."
Sure,
so,
sure. Complaining about the ex is easy; going the other way, tough. On the other hand, negative history can be complex. We'll look at it. Pat, what about if it's history that doesn't reflect so well? People prepared to share that? Is it important to share that or not?
It's a very good point because I think that the negative aspects, say, of an abusive relationship, a woman who maybe has been in an abusive relationship has that in her history, has a lot of shame about it. So shame is one of the most difficult emotions for us to deal with. And when that arises, it can be quite a real flooding experience for us where that's all we know about ourselves. And so I think in that sense, it may be very difficult to talk about negative aspects to a relationship. It's easy to talk about sort of the cruddy ways in which people have treated us that are pretty typical. But I think when there's shame involved, it makes it extraordinarily difficult for people. And that would be an area that people would really need to maybe have some psychological help with.
Let's get a call from Suzette in Plainview, Connecticut. Hi, Suzette. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. You're awesome. I have a couple of comments. One, thank God I cannot convey everything to my husband. I mean,
you don't want to.
You cannot. So, you know, I start my story, you know, we were in the graveyard, it was raining, we had this deep kiss, and my husband's like, I got it, honey, I got it. I mean, these are the details that vary between us, but are common points of the heart's passage. They're the same. And not only that, I think that, you know, I mean, for us, you know, being married again, it's easier to relook at the past, I think, than imagine and fully live in the present and the future. Why would this be taboo? Isn't there so much more to do? Unless there's a lot of issues, than to rehash all this stuff.
So spare me the details, you say, Suzette. We all basically know what must be in there. Leon, how about it? I mean, what's the point? We kind of know what romance is. You had some before. Let's have ours now.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the mantra. You know, let's live in the present. And but you know, how do you deal with the situation that happened at the Jukebox Cafe? I mean, we don't control the moments. The past has a way of becoming the present in these blinding ways, you know, and very sneaky ways, and you have no way of controlling that. And our point is that if you have something like that happen, and if Kate, you know, had chosen to sit on her emotion at that time, or if I had responded differently, we would have very much had a whole.
You might have lost
experience.
Something. You never know what's going to leap up on the jukebox. Kate Harper, Leon Marasco, stand by. Pat Rogers, we're talking about past loves and current relationships. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about old loves and new relationships and the taboo against talking about what was. It's in literature. It's in the movies. It's on TV. Here's a scene from season 3 of Sex and the City. Carrie doesn't want her new boyfriend to know about her previous one. Here's an encounter with her and her ex at a hotel bar, Sarah Jessica Parker and Chris Noth as Big.
No, this has to stop. This, the flirting and the jerking me around and the calling my boyfriend. He doesn't know about you, and I don't want him to ever know about you.
Why is that?
Oh, go lay in your beige bed.
Lay in your beige bed. Here's James Joyce, a James Joyce short story, The Dead. And a song at a party, not the jukebox cafe, but a party, reminds Greta Conroy of a past love. Her husband, Gabriel, gets jealous. Gabriel, here's Angelica Houston and Donald McCann in the 1987 John Houston adaptation of James Joyce's The Dead.
It was a person I used to know in Galway when I was living with my grandmother.
Someone you were in love with?
It was a young boy I used to know, named Michael Fury. He used to sing that song, The Last of Ockram. He was very delicate. I can see him so plainly. Such eyes as he had. Big, dark eyes. And an expression in them. An expression.
Oh, so you are in love with him?
I used to go out walking with him when I was in Galway.
And perhaps that was why you wanted to go to Galway with that Ivers woman.
What for?
Well, how do I know? To see him, perhaps?
He's dead.
Angelica Houston, Donald McCann, and James Joyce's The Dead, there, the John Houston 1987 adaptation. You know, Kate, as I began to think about this, there is an antique sound right there, of course. It's drama, and it's from Joyce. But there seems something kind of antique and Victorian about, oh, you know, the way I feel about that old love, and it's still overwhelming me now. Do people still have those kind of, you know, that one breath on my cheek when I was 16 and he was 17? And do people still carry that, or are we more cold, cut and dry these days?
Oh, boy. Well, the short answer is yes. People do still carry it, maybe not quite in that breathless way that she was saying it, but they carry it in their hearts, I think, in a very, very special way. We have, in the last 2 years, done a past love story contest where we've asked people to send us true stories about an important love and how that person touched their life. And the stories we've received have just been so powerful and heartful. And they use, very, very specific language about how these people touched their lives, mm-hmm. and how it has stayed with them, you know, whether it's 2 years ago or 20 years ago or 40 years ago. And many of the people who submitted stories said, thank you for an opportunity to write about this because it's something I haven't done before. And it was really, no matter what happens in the contest, it really mattered to me to have a chance to just put this down, to reflect on this and revisit it. So yeah. I think, you know, if it really was a significant, you know, transformative kind of relationship, mm-hmm. People do hold them.
In fact, this year's winner actually said that she was really glad to have a chance to have somebody else know the story. Mm-hmm. You know, so actually it's going to be posted on the internet, on our website, so yeah, lots of people will get to know the story.
Yeah. You'll be able to link to that at ours, onpointradio.org. My first love started off as my best friend. And only go Facing the Fall, that one's called. Harriet's calling from Somerville, Massachusetts. Harriet, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, this is a delightful and powerful program. I am a most fortunate person. I happen to be 62. Mm-hmm. I happen to be blind. Mm-hmm. And I have had, I would say you just segued into what I had to say, which is that friendship, when deep love or lover relationships, significant other relationships are based on a deep, trusting friendship, mm-hmm. they last. My first husband was my college sweetheart and dear friend. We had a conversation the other night. Mm. You know, we share our lives still in a very deep way. He gave me Indian music. We went to India together, lived 2 years in, actually 3 years in India. Mm. You know, and my second husband is the father of my children. And he and I just have, we're musicians, composers, we have incredible connection. We struggle over our 23-year-old and 18-year-old mm-hmm. children's stuff.
mm-hmm.
And, you know, and one and my closest friend now, and you know, part-time significant other is someone I've known since high school.
But Harriet, when your second husband heard you put on the Indian music and sort of swan around the room and get dreamy over old days, did he want to hear that, see that, or did he go chop wood?
I introduced him to Indian music. We went to concerts and fell in love ourselves over Indian music. So these things are not so cut and dry. I mean, look, at my second marriage, I had 4 past loves. Okay? And they were all delighted to be there at the contra dance, at, you know, whatever.
You're
cooking. I mean, maybe I am 1 in 10,000. I don't know. But the point is, and not only that, one of those people who came, he and his betrothed came, and then 5 years later, I happened to be at their home and become their labor coach for their first son. Who's a second year in college student now?
Sounds very California, but it sounds like you're pulling it off. I just love it, Harriet. Thank you very much, Pat. What about it? Can it be cumulative? Can it be additive that we bring in sort of the best? I don't know. You know, vibes, stories, moments, insights from multiple relationships, and stack them progressively into relationships as we go. Or is it too much to ask?
It certainly seems like that's what that people in the book did, and Kate and Leon did. That they could share and appreciate all those moments together. I'm not sure the kind of person that it takes to do that, though. I wonder if it is more, as this caller is saying, the exception than the rule, that we can tolerate hearing about those loving memories, even though it's a part of you that you continue to bring forth. So it's a very good question.
I wonder if it matters who's doing the telling, if it's the leaver or the one who got left. Kate and Leon, in your case, you know, Leon, at least in one of these passages in life, kind of got left. And Kate, you were the one who left. Is there a sort of triumphalism? The one who left can talk about everything, but the one who got left doesn't want to talk about it, because how does that reflect? Or the one who left may look like, the brigand, the pillager here, Kate.
Boy, I don't think that there's a rule here. I don't think there's a rule about much of any of this, except that it requires a lot of consciousness and awareness of your self-awareness to do this. But I don't think the leaver or leavee is a real piece of it. Although I would have to say that. For some of the people we interviewed, if they were with somebody who had been left, and that person maybe inappropriately talked about the person who had left them, there could be a feeling of, well, I'm just the consolation prize. Several people use that language to feel that you're only with me because this person left, and you wouldn't be with me if they hadn't. So that can be a definite piece of this that requires real awareness, because maybe this person was not done with that relationship. Maybe this person was, in fact, wanting to say something that they weren't saying directly. Mm. And so it definitely is. You know, I keep wanting to say this is not for everyone, and I totally agree with what Pat has said, all of the insights that she has brought, because this is something that does require a certain amount of maturity, self-awareness, consciousness of where you are coming from, what is really going on here. And I don't think everyone, you know, either wants to do that or really is more developed enough at this moment, maybe to do that.
Maybe just not ready. Yes, Leon.
Mm-hmm. We can say, as your listener, as your listener just said, you know, that she felt she was 1 in 10,000 or whatever, and we would agree. But I think the reason we wrote the book was because we realized that the other 999 or 9,999 may be missing an opportunity, and that they should really know that there is a possibility to do it differently. and maybe be able to share the kind of things that the listener in 1 in 10,000 is able to share.
Put it all right out there. We've got so many trying to get into our conversation. Let me turn to Mindy in Boston. Mindy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Great topic. I just wanted to say that that both my husband and I are quite open about our past relationships. And, in fact, I'm still friends with two of my best lovers. And but at
two out of whatever. Sorry,
that's
fooling. and he's okay with that. Do you really share? You know, all the time. You know, Johnny and I were down by the reservoir or whatever.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm actually conscious about the things that I say. You know, with regard to interactions that I have with these lovers, and because I just feel like within our relationship, all of the details don't need to be said. It's not that...
Do you leave out the sex or do you leave out the passion, the emotion?
I would say both, actually.
So what's left to talk about?
there's really not that much to talk about. I guess it's because I see it as something... It's another part of my life that you know, there are certain things that go on in my day-to-day life that I don't share with him, and vice versa. You know, I don't expect to know every, you know, detail about what's gone on in his life. And the same is true for me. He is not friends with any of his ex-lovers, but if he were, that would be okay with me. But I don't need to know all of the details about his intimate, times with lovers.
Right. It's interesting, Mindy. There's a kind of middle ground where you're very open about the fact that they were there, you had them, you acknowledge, but a lot of the details stay as maybe a little in the shadows. Let's get another call from Edgefield, South Carolina, and Madeline. Madeline, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I have a question for your guests. Can that be a kind of don't you and ask trick? In a way, from a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, saying that, we are going to have a clean slate, and then we are starting to start from there, and then, the other one is tricked into that kind of thing. And then afterward, even 10 years later, when the womanizing, the actual womanizing, has always been there and continues, you are told that, okay, you knew from the beginning that I was like that.
Right. So watch out. This is interesting. Kate, how about it? you can tell old tales. Of course, famously, you can tell them as a tool of seduction or as a club that gets held over someone's head later or, to buy leeway. What about it, Kate? This dynamite handled carefully? Watch out for the tricks or no?
Well, here again, it really is totally dependent on where this is coming from in a person. If they really are kind of devious, that they have plans for how they're going to use this in some way, I would say don't do it, absolutely don't do it, because that's really not what we're talking about at all. And I think the notion that you can start a relationship with a completely clean slate is bogus, I think.
Yeah,
but
no such thing.
Yeah, there isn't right. such a thing.
Pat, our time is short here. Pat, you see couples when the guns are drawn.
Right.
Is this the ammo? Is this
yes.
what gets pulled out?
Often this is the ammo. Maybe not so overtly that about a past relationship, but you can see it percolating in the dynamic that people are talking about. And I think it can be very damaging. And obviously the purpose of your book, which I thought was wonderful, is about building intimacy. And it doesn't build intimacy to break someone down, to be damaging. We want to be supportive to our partners and try to understand them and understand their vulnerabilities, not to tear them down. And that's often people come into my office when they're in that mode of disappointments and hurts. And when we do that, we hurt back, which obviously isn't good, but that it's a human instinct.
Leon, we've just got half a minute. If you didn't know the history, if you didn't know what you do know about Kate's past loves, what would you be missing in your current relationship, Leon?
Oh, man. I mean, when I think about, you know, you never know in any given moment, you know, her most recent former partner of 10 years died not too long ago. You know, if I hadn't known about the depth of that relationship, I would not have been able to be supportive to her. You know, the kinds of things that you're just not prepared to go and be with somebody in a situation that's important. That's the kind of thing I think that really gets lost. You just can't buy any other way.
Well, history living there and held tenderly in your telling, lucky for you two, and a kind of a inspiration or I'm not sure what, a warning, but probably an inspiration to others. Kate Harper and Leon Marasco, their book is If Only I Could Tell You Where Past Loves and Current Intimacy Meet. You give us an opportunity to think and talk about something that rarely is on the table. Kate and Leon in Montpelier, Vermont, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom.
Our pleasure,
this was
Tom.
Wonderful.
And Pat, Patricia Rogers with me in the studio. Thanks for joining us, Pat.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck, everybody. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Then softer than a Piper man.